on the air on this Wednesday, last Wednesday of the month of October. October 27th, 2021, 18 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears, Glenn Coble here. Don't forget, when we go off today, a progressive life with Glenn Coble, 1210 to 1 p.m. Offbeat news and trivia with Nate Redmond, 410 to 5 p.m. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday sermon from 610 until 7 today. Also, don't forget, candidates night tomorrow night here on this station, 710 until 9 p.m. You can call in and ask the candidates for city council or city treasurer any question you like. I will be here with the Marion Stars, Mitch Hooper, as well as Glenn Coble, Terry Tackett, Sean Kraft, Angie Evers,
Linda.
And the gang.
Linda.
And Linda Sims. Absolutely. Here in the studio, and we will have a lot of fun with that. Come tomorrow night, 7:10 until 9 p.m. Then we'll be on with election coverage. Don't forget, next Tuesday, November the 2nd, starting at 7:10 p.m. until those races are called.
Did you put up this bulletproof wall here in front
barometer.
Of
barometer.
Oh, that's the barometer.
Barometer. Yeah. And you were explaining that between 28 and... because apparently you took some...
yeah,
meteorology classes.
Climatology was my minor.
Climatology. So between 28 and 29 means precipitation.
Yeah, usually.
29 and 30 means we're going one way or another. If it's going up, clear, down, precipitation.
And you need to tap on your, if you got one of those little analog ones that has a dial, tap on it, and it'll either go down or it'll go up. If it's
I have a dial.
Oh, do you?
Do I tap it?
Yeah, tap now and see which way it's going. Did it move? If it's not moving, it'll move quickly. If it's not moving, that means you're kind of holding at that particular barometric pressure.
We're holding at 29.8.
Okay, so you're closing in on decent
weather. Fair weather.
You're probably a day or two away from it, but yeah.
Well, there you go. So there's the barometer reading for today. And it is 57 degrees here in the studio.
Wow. No wonder I had to leave my coat on.
You know, it's nice that we've always had a thermometer in the studio because in the mall we had some chilly temperatures, and that's happened before. So giving the studio temperature is fun.
Do we have a fireplace in this new place?
I have to burn a fire here. But it's been chilly the last couple of nights.
It has. It has. My wife came out to the living room this morning as I was getting ready to take my doggie, and said, did you get cold last night? And I said, yes, I did. The furnace didn't come on till 8 o'clock this morning, or 7 o'clock this morning. And we both looked at it, and it was absolutely at the bottom of, we don't set our furnace very high. Until 8 o'clock, it's at 64 degrees, and it was all the way down to bottom 64.
So overnight, you have it at 64.
Yeah.
Now that's cold.
Yeah.
Now, why would you do that?
Well, we cover up with blankets, and so it's nice and snuggly.
So what happens in the morning?
The furnace comes on and warms us up for our coffee.
But it goes to what temperature then? What do you set it during the day?
69.
So it's cold in your house.
Yeah, we like to keep it cool in the house, yeah.
Now, you don't catch a lot of colds there or anything?
No, we're fighting that. By keeping our bodies
robust.
Yes.
Well, that's an interesting question. What do you have your heat set on right now? Because I'm sure everybody's kicked on their heat yet. What do you have your heat set on? Give us a call. 740-383-9944.
My wife said we're bumping that up a little.
I would think the common would be between 70 and 72.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
70 and 72. But I know a lot of people who get it up 74, 76. I don't know anybody who keeps it on 80. But 74, 76 is probably in an average.
My neighbors on both sides of me, during the summer, their air conditioner runs 24/7, and during the winter, their heat runs 24/7.
I think that's typical.
Maybe it is. So it's not for us. First of all, we went through a time where we didn't have a whole lot of nickels and dimes, and we were watching our pennies. And by cutting our temperature back like we did, all of a sudden we started realizing that we weren't paying nearly as much money for our heat.
But do you end up saving a lot? Because I go through this with my heating.
Well, you gotta warm up your house then.
Well, here's the thing. My heating bill is on a budget.
Yeah.
Because I have gas heat.
Yeah.
So What I have noticed is, no matter what I have the heat set on, if I set it toward the high side, it goes up $2 a month, the budget. Yeah. If I set it toward the low side, it'll go down $2 a month. And that's only 6 months of the year, because for 6 months of the year, we really don't have the heat on at all.
No, but you can have your air on, right?
So I'm saving $12 or spending $12.
Back when we were looking for nickels and dimes, that mattered to us, $12.
Really, $12 in a six-month period? I'm frugal as the next person, but to me, that's for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, heat in your house, $12. I don't think that that's...
I think if you would really have an analysis of your heating and cooling, you'd find out you're spending more than that, but that's just me.
You always want to disagree.
Well, we'll get those crazy people that are doing the analysis out in Arizona to come in and check your house.
I wanted to start a little earlier with this week, because we didn't fully get into it last week because we were running out of time, but we were talking about Dr. Feynman's, and he doubled down on it last week, I heard. Because I heard the beginning of the show, that Melania Trump was the worst first lady in the history of first ladies.
He wanted you to know that he really believed that.
I understand that. I heard that. But I thought about it again, and I just don't know how. And the reasoning he gives is puzzling to me. Like, because she wore a jacket with something on the back of it.
It was kind of...
It was dumb.
It had no empathy for poor people.
Right, but I mean, does the first lady wearing a jacket like that mean anything?
Does the first lady saying poor people deserve to be poor, saying that, does it make a difference?
No,
yes.
Did she say that?
Well, that's what it said on her coat, basically. That wasn't the words, but...
I don't think... what did her coat say? I don't think it said that.
It was very snooty, like...
I thought it was after one of the
disasters. If you don't
disasters.
Like this, you're crazy or something.
I thought it was after one of the disasters
I'll
where her husband was being criticized. Yeah. I don't remember what her coat said, but I don't remember it being... I just didn't seem to me like this is highly important. What her coat says.
I don't think it is either, and I don't think most people thought it was terribly important. Yeah.
And it was spray painted on there.
Was it spray painted?
Well, I remember it looked very odd. It was okay. I guess. Whatever.
It says, I really don't care, do you?
Yeah.
That's anti- empathetic.
But what is she caring about? Well, wasn't it like a hurricane or something?
I don't remember. But you can buy it on eBay for $90.
No, but do we really know what it meant?
I don't think they do. Anybody does.
When I saw it, there we go. I really don't care, do you? You know what I really thought? And pundits spin it any way they want. What I thought it meant was... do I care what you're saying about me? Do I care what you're saying about my husband? Do I care what that's what I thought.
Okay, I still think it was in very poor taste. I mean,
not the nicest thing in the world, but I don't know where that made her the worst first lady in the history of ladies.
She appeared naked in magazines.
See, now let's
That's
get into
one thing.
This is a good one.
I don't mind that.
No, I'm sure you don't. But no, this to me is the height of hypocrisy.
Why?
In America. Because that was her job. It's not like she was out there doing that just to do it.
Well, why would you pick that as a job?
She was a model, wasn't she?
Well, I know there are a lot of models that have never appeared naked.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. If you are in college mm-hmm. and you pose as a nude model for an art class, should that come back to haunt you? You should never run for public office. You should never be elected anything.
Well, now you're changing it a little bit. Art class is different than... men's magazines.
I don't think it was that.
It was, she was in men's magazines. They weren't, you know, like Playboy. They were the kind of macho men magazines.
Right, but I mean, nobody forced her. It wasn't
And they paid her probably pretty well. And they paid
her very well, right. So, and I'm sure they pay those models in college.
You don't
have to do that. You can go work at Denny's.
Yeah. I modeled a little bit in college.
Oh, no, well, now it all comes out.
No, nobody ever asked me to model naked. I think I modeled for the Indiana Chamber of Commerce on the back of a motorcycle, and I modeled for a clothing line briefly. But nobody ever asked me to model naked. If they had asked me to model naked, I would not have done it, period.
But a lot of people do. But my question is, does that disqualify you for something?
No, it just adds more, aren't you stupid to
see, this. I can't call everybody who's modeled nude stupid.
You can't call a person that models for, like, an artist thing stupid. That's an artist thing. But person that models naked for men's magazine, I think you have to be a little stupid. You have to know that it's going to affect your career.
But haven't some of the most famous people on planet Earth been in the most famous one of all, Playboy?
Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn Monroe.
But people thought
Patty Davis. Didn't Patty Davis do an ad for PETA where she was pretty well in the buff?
I don't know.
I believe so.
I never heard that.
Yeah, I don't know why this disqualifies you for anything.
It doesn't disqualify you. It just it points to your character, that's all.
So does mental illness point to your character?
Well, you weren't mental illness is something that you have no control over. You have control over whether you're going to appear naked in magazines.
Right, but it's not a crime. It's not illegal.
It used to be a crime. It's not a crime anymore.
Right. When she did it, it was not a crime.
Right, yeah.
And it happened
like marijuana.
And it happened before she was first lady.
Yeah.
Well, that's another one.
She also,
Bill Clinton didn't inhale before he became president.
She also started dating that president before he had gotten rid of his other wife.
So. I hate to say this, but I think the reflection of people who think she's the worst first lady probably is more a reflection on how they feel about her husband than her.
Well, I'm absolutely positive of that.
Right, and that's not fair. Well, because Hillary shouldn't have had to take all the blame for Bill, but she did.
Fair share.
Eleanor shouldn't have had to take the blame for Franklin, but she did. Jackie Kennedy shouldn't have to take the blame for JFK's picadillos, but she did. You know, I just don't know.
I don't think she ever took the blame for his peccadillos.
I don't know.
What did she...
I mean, people knew he was a runabout.
I think people thought what a brave woman she was. Much like Mrs. Clinton, I think.
Oh, they turned against her.
Oh, I know they did. But I think that a lot of people thought she's standing by her man. A good old country song.
After she said, "I ain't no Tammy Wynette standing by my man." I don't know. I just look at all the first ladies... And I think Melania didn't do a whole lot.
Who is worse than Melania?
Well, I don't know them all that well. I don't know what Martha Washington did in her free time. I don't know what do these people
Well, I brought
did.
Up to...
I hear Florence Harding was no peach.
Well, I brought up to Ron and Dr. Feynman last week... Mrs. Lincoln was really a roughneck.
Absolutely roughneck.
And he kind of, yeah, but...
Right, but Mrs. Harding lied during the campaign, said she didn't have a son. He had died prior to it. Said she had not been divorced. She had. Really kind of apparently wore the pants in that relationship. Was accused of killing her husband.
He didn't wear the pants when women were around.
He had his own. So there you go. I mean, is she an awful first lady for doing those things?
Oh, I think there have been a lot
of... burned his papers, burned his love letters when he died. Now, to me, that's a far worse thing to do than... That's a cover-up. Melania didn't cover anything up. Matter of fact, she didn't cover anything up.
Now, maybe one of the questions is, who is smarter, Melania or Mrs. Harding?
Smarter is a different question.
Yeah, but that goes into the judgment of the character. quite frankly, I don't think we should judge any of those people because no, we weren't really there.
I mean, let's look at somebody like Eleanor Roosevelt or Jackie Kennedy. Now,
both bright ladies.
Both bright ladies, but also covered up their husbands' peccadilloes, or peccadilloes, however you say it, and knew very well what they were doing.
Peccadilloes, I think.
Pecca.
Do you think that they... Well, I don't know. You might be right there. They may have all known what their husbands were doing.
Hillary, I don't think, did know until she knew.
I don't think she knew about under the desk.
No,
that sort
of thing. But yeah. That's the one that hurt her.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, I think Florence Harding, it's well noted, destroyed love letters because it would have reflected badly on him, would have reflected badly on her. Now, to me, that's a far worse act than wearing a jacket that says, mind your own business, or whatever it said.
I think they're completely different. I don't think you can compare those two things.
Well, if we can't, so how do we get to the worst first lady?
An opinion, and that's all it is with Dr. Feinman. It's just an opinion.
A lot of people think Lady Bird Johnson was in on the Kennedy assassination, that she was really... I've heard that.
Really? I mean,
oh, yes. People have made that remark. And that
yeah,
Barbara,
but you also heard that J. Edgar Hoover was gay.
Well, we had that whole show this morning.
I know, listen.
We had the whole thing this morning. Well, was he? And should that impact?
I don't know. I don't care.
You know, in his time, though, he obviously could not be out of the closet if he was.
Yeah, he was such an ugly man, I'm not so certain it would be cool.
Well, I mean, isn't it funny, though, the things that we find taboo, it used to be taboo to be divorced. You couldn't win the presidency and be divorced. Used to be taboo to have affairs. Couldn't have an affair.
Used to be taboo to be Catholic.
Yeah, right. So I think, honestly, posing nude for the First Lady, it's just another taboo that in 30 years we won't think anything of because everybody is shooting nude pictures on the internet now.
I'm not.
No, but a lot of people are. A lot of people are.
I have
are.
Never appeared nude. I
are close to it.
And nobody wants to see anything that I appear nude.
Well, when is the last time we've seen a First Lady who dressed provocatively? Not
other
very
than,
often.
Other than Melania?
Did she dress provocatively?
I think so, occasionally, yeah.
And it was often. Mostly ball gowns.
She showed a lot of top.
Okay, well.
I really don't care.
Oh, man.
I often ask my dad, well, first thing, my dad, as you know, was a minister, and I said, you know, every time he got mad at me for saying, well, he didn't really get mad at me, but every time he corrected me for using a four-letter word, I would say to my dad, it's only a word, and it's put together by four letters that are innocent. Well, that's the same thing on this. It's, if you appear naked, that's the way you were born. It's, you know, who cares?
Barbara Bush, they called her the enforcer.
She was ugly, though.
Well, there you go. Well, then why was she even allowed to be First Lady?
Yeah.
Nancy Reagan, they called the Dragon Lady.
Yeah.
I mean, I think probably some of these people were a lot worse.
And I think a lot of First Ladies have to be the Dragon Lady because their husbands are motivated by what their wives help them do.
And Eleanor, they said, was very pushy, very annoying.
My mother-in-law would have been a great president's wife.
She would have fit right in.
Oh,
here's a subject I wanted to get to with 24 minutes left to go.
Right.
Maybe it's. I am fascinated lately, and I have not read it. I don't even know if it's out yet. But Katie Couric and Meghan McCain have both written books. Or I think Meghan McCain's is an Audible book. But it's fascinating that they didn't really write about, I did this, I did that, I did. Both of these books are their truth, and a lot of people are criticizing both of these things because they say things that I guess people feel they shouldn't have said. Like Meghan McCain is saying that the people on The View were toxic, and that's why she left, and it was a toxic atmosphere. And Katie Couric was saying she felt Ashley Banfield was after her job, so she froze her out. And Deborah Norville, the same thing. And what's the other thing in Katie? Oh, that she edited Ruth Bader Ginsburg's interview because she came out against Colin Kaepernick. You know, why
who,
do...
Who came out against Colin?
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
She
and,
did.
Yeah, and, yeah. And Katie Couric took that out of the interview because she didn't want to damage Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So, they're telling...
Yeah, that's disappointing. I didn't know that.
Yeah, but now, telling the truth is getting these women in trouble. So I don't quite understand this.
Someday I'm going to bring my, I wrote my memoir, and I'll bring it in so you can read it. It's only 180 pages long. And I tried to tell absolutely the truth the whole way. But you know one thing I found when I was writing it? I have forgotten the truth.
Well, but
and
do
I
you,
bet they forget the truth.
Yeah, but well, apparently they believe this is their truth.
Yeah, and I think you do believe it. When you're writing it, you think, this is the way it happened. But my wife has read parts of my memoir, not very much of it, but some of the parts she will say to me, that's not the way it happened. And we kind of argue about it, but it's tough to go back and remember all that
stuff. But I don't think anybody is saying that they're getting it wrong. What they're saying is, why are you doing this? This is a low blow. Ruth Bader Ginsburg can't defend herself. Why would you do that in the first place? Ashley Banfield loved you. Why are you criticizing her? Deborah Norville liked you. Why are you criticizing her? You know, this is what they're saying, and I don't know. It's Katie Couric's perspective. It's not for anybody else to say.
And I think she's a good Hoosier, isn't she? I think she graduated from IU.
I remember when Barbara Walters did her book a few years ago and said that she had a relationship with a black married, was it Senator? Ed Brooke, I believe.
Hmm.
And, oh my goodness gracious. Well, did you want her to lie about it?
Most of the time, they don't lie. They just don't say anything about that sort of thing.
Well, and I think she did that for the longest time and then decided she wasn't going to do that anymore.
Yeah.
So do you want to hear the truth, or do you want...
Well, it's very freeing. When I wrote my memoir, it freed me up a lot, because now I've put it out there. You can go online and read it. You don't have to if you don't want to. But it is freeing to be able to tell the truth the way you see it, even though you come back and find out you were wrong.
Now, that's the important part, the way you see it. Because...
Yeah, it's always the way you see it.
Exactly. And that's the problem, I think, that people are getting into. When Ashley Banfield, who went on her show and said, I'm so hurt that Katie Couric would say this, because I loved Katie Couric.
Let me get my violin out for you, lady.
Well, but the point is, that's how Katie Couric felt. I don't know that that's a knock on Ashley Banfield. She's just saying, this is what I felt. I felt that she was after my job. I needed to be territorial. Mm-hmm. That's how I felt. Maybe that's not how you felt, Ashley Banfield.
It might have been freeing for Ashley to know that she didn't dislike her.
She was hurt.
Just afraid.
She
yeah,
was hurt.
I understand that, yeah.
So okay. I guess, isn't everything from your perspective?
Yeah, and that's one of my least favorite quotes or sayings is, and I'm trying to remember, Dick Vitale, I think, used to say this, or was it... it doesn't make any difference. I tell it like it is. Well, you don't tell it like it is. You tell it like the way you see it. Nobody tells it like it is. I don't believe.
Telling it like it is, isn't that telling it like you see it?
No. Telling it like it is means that you know everything about it and that this is the way it was. Whereas telling it like you see it is saying, from my perspective... That's what
I don't know. I just think, you know, that's why criticism never really bothers me, because I always think that's how they see it. Good for them.
Obviously, you don't care about other people's criticism.
No.
I see your clothes every day.
Exactly. No. I mean, isn't that the thing, though? I mean, why would you care what others... Who cares what other people say?
You know, you got to it way before I did. It took me till I was probably late 50s before... I don't care anymore. You seem to jump right into that.
It never bothered me what anybody else said, because I always feel criticism, much like compliments, are subjective. They're based upon how that person sees it.
And they can change from minute to minute.
Well, I think it's, you know, how many people have come up to somebody and said, I didn't like you until I got to know you.
Yeah.
Now, the fact that you would even make an opinion when you don't know somebody.
And I think most of us do, though.
Right, but that to me is astonishing.
astonishing, but natural.
Like Jimmy Crumb was a good example for me. He was somebody I liked before I knew him. And my beef with him in life is knowing him. The time I spent with him is the exact opposite. I didn't like him. But after the Colleen Marshall interview, where she told me what Jimmy Crumb did for her, I said, well, you know, maybe this wasn't such a bad guy. My experience was still horrible with him, but maybe I can give him a pass because he was nice to other people.
Well, and there are always two sides to a coin, and there are always good things and bad things that people do. You interviewed one of the biggest villains in America. Cosby.
Oh, that's true, yes.
And he is a huge villain. Now, if you had interviewed him 20 years ago, people would have said, oh, what a nice man to interview. What a nice person you are. And then I was here just after you interviewed him, and you got all sorts of people that thought you were terrible.
But it's a funny thing, because I was Katie Couric's on the cover of People magazine this week, and maybe that's why it's generating an awful lot of
talk. Yeah, her face job wasn't very good either.
That's your perspective, Glenn.
I know it is.
That's your subjective perspective.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at this, and I even flipped, you know, in the grocery line as I was waiting and read a little bit of the story, and it's funny to me that people are saying, well, you shouldn't have done that. Well, it's her book.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't she have?
Well, it's, if you don't like it, don't read it.
Don't read it. Move on from it.
Yeah.
But you know what it made me think of, and I flashed on this. Years ago, I interviewed Helen Thomas, who was considered a villain at the time because she had said some unkind things about Israel, which cost her her job. Mm-hmm. And I did the interview and got a lot of attention. I was, you know, had the Fox News and CNN at that time and was in newspapers all across the country. But what I remember about, I don't remember the interview. I remember that when it was over, Helen went into the kitchen and made us egg sandwiches and ginger ale. So that's what I remember about Helen
Sounds
Thomas.
Sounds terrible, but
no, but that she was hospitable.
Yeah,
and I remember that she would come on anytime I would ask her to. So that's what I remember about Helen Thomas. I don't remember the bad things she did in people's perspective.
Yeah, one of the things, like I said, it took me until I was in my 50s to start understanding that people aren't the way I thought they were. They're the way they are. And I really think that it's a good lesson to learn. I'm glad you learned it so young in life. I did not. And I think you have to learn that, yeah, there are good things about everybody. I bet, and I'm not a big Trump fan, as you know, but I bet he was nice to, what's his son's name? I forget, the real tall kid.
Don Jr.
No.
Eric.
His son with Melania.
Baron.
I bet he's wonderful to Baron.
By the way, I heard that conversation, too, last week on your show. Okay. About what's the disease and
Marfan's disease.
Yeah, but I see, now to me, that was so confusing when I was listening to that show.
I'm sorry.
Well, no, because we have no, this could just be a tall kid.
It could be. Yeah, and I brought up, I had a basketball player. I was broadcasting a game, and
I heard this.
Yeah, 6'5" kid died on the court. And you don't know if you have Marfan's disease. Maybe now they do, but they didn't back then.
Right, but there were little digs being taken about, I hope he's being taken care of. Now,
well, wouldn't you? I mean, it would be a problem to take care of a kid from the White House. I don't know how the Obamas did it. I don't know how Melania did it.
Right, but now there's a good example. President Obama's daughters, I believe, are very tall. I don't remember anybody saying stuff like that about them.
It's not a dig. It's a concern.
It's a concern, but it almost seems
he's unusually tall if he's 6'7", and he's only, what, 15, 16? Maybe 17.
Well, it just seemed to me that it had more to do, well, his parents maybe are not taking care of this.
Oh, I don't think that was the way it was intended, but now, knowing Dr. Feynman, maybe it was.
Because I've never heard, Abe Lincoln had it.
Yeah.
Now, did any of his kids, do we even know?
I don't know.
But see, we here we got a boy.
And how did we know Abe Lincoln had it?
I don't know, but that's what somebody said. Wasn't that on your show?
Yeah, it was. The same guy said that said that Hoover was gay.
Hoover was gay. So I don't. But this, to me, all this stuff is kind of on the sidelines. I mean, I don't want anybody.
Absolutely is. Yes.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to be sick. And I would guess Donald Trump is a billionaire, and I'm sure he's got doctors, and I'm sure he sees that his kids see doctors.
People like to criticize other people, so that builds them up. It has, and if they would stop and think about it, it doesn't drag that other person down that you're saying bad stuff. Bad stuff that you say about other people only drags you down because nobody knows it but
now,
you.
I remember Dr. Feynman and Adam when they had their little show on for a while.
Yeah.
I remember they used to spend so much time talking about how good Melania Trump looked. And if we would go back in the archives, you would find show after show after show. And I used to sit in my car as I was driving in every morning and think, what does this have to do with anything?
Well, Dr. Feynman's probably listening right now. He'll tell me.
We can go in the archives. We can pull the shows. I am not talking out of school here. But I used to say, I mean, they didn't spend a whole show on it, but they were obsessed with the way the woman looked. And now I hear him saying how she's the worst first lady who ever lived. Well, I guess she's still beautiful. Is she the best looking first lady who ever lived?
One isn't exclusive of the other. I mean, you can be absolutely knockout gorgeous and be a really rotten person.
Right, but is she still the most beautiful first lady?
I don't know. I think that was more. I used to listen to that. I think that
you heard that too.
Yeah. But I think it was more. Adam thought how pretty she was.
Well, no, he would be right there with it.
He was.
They both were. You know what? They both were very interested in age and looks.
Well, see, now I was interested in looks most of my life, and then I found out again when I was in my late 50s. Hey, wait a minute. I'm not so pretty anymore.
Well, I think it's a little disingenuous.
Oh, absolutely.
To say how good somebody looks for months and months and months and then come back and punch her for posing in a magazine nude. I mean,
I still think
how do you think she got
tacky.
That job?
I still think that's tacky.
It's showbiz, I guess. Oh, here we go.
All right.
Go ahead, caller. I thought this might happen. Caller, go ahead.
Ron Feynman here. I wanted to talk to both of them.
Come on in, Doctor. How are you, Doctor?
Okay, how are you?
Good.
Hey, Dr. Feynman.
I had to get on. First of all, stop attacking Lady Bird Johnson. She never has been accused by anyone I've ever heard of being involved in the Kennedy assassination. She is a classic first lady.
I believe Roger Stone did.
Well, Roger Stone, do you really believe Roger Stone?
No, I'm just saying he was, I'll tell you where that came from. I didn't pull that out of thin air. Roger Stone wrote a book on, it was long before Trump and Hillary, long before that election.
Yeah, I thought he said LBJ had been involved, which has been said.
His book was LBJ Killed Kennedy or something like that. But in the book, he asserts how Lady Bird Johnson was really running the show.
Well,
and you know what? If you look at, and I'm not saying
ridiculous.
I'm not saying that Lady Bird did have a hand. I have no idea. But to be honest with you, do you ever notice she didn't really have much of a relationship with Jackie Kennedy. She never really got emotional about things. I never really heard. She lived to be like 96 or something. I never heard her talk like in glowing terms about the Kennedys. Now, Nellie Connelly, on the other hand, who was just the governor of Texas,
yes.
Now, she used to speak in, oh, Jackie was so beautiful and her clothes were so nice and, you know, that day and everybody, it was so, Jack looked great and the crowd was cheering for him.
Yeah.
Find Lady Bird Johnson in her 96 years ever saying anything really positive about the Kennedys.
Actually, I can't think where, but I have heard things or seen things she has said at some point.
But not overly nice.
No, but also remember that John F. Kennedy did not treat Lyndon Johnson very well because of Robert Kennedy. So I think that's part of it also, that there's a resentment between the president and the vice president.
But I just want to make clear.
And their wives, I mean.
But I want to make clear, I was not saying that Lady Bird Johnson killed President Kennedy. I was saying that there is a book in which it is asserted that she really wore the pants in that family.
Yeah, but Roger Stone was pardoned once. He's not going to be pardoned a second time because of what he did on January 6th.
But that's, okay, that's that.
Yeah. Okay, now as far as, I don't really care, do you, is what was on the back of the jacket.
Right, but what was that, what did that mean?
Well, she was going after a weather event, I think it was, right? And
that's what I thought.
So she didn't care, just like a husband. A husband never cared about people except if they were wealthy. That's just the nature of the man. The family is well, I won't say the word because I know you don't like it, but you know what
I mean. No, you can say the word. You can say the word. No, I'm just saying what I don't see. I, in my mind, and I'm being 100% honest with you, when I saw her wear that jacket, President Trump was under high criticism that time for how he was handling that weather event, and I thought what the jacket meant was, I don't care what you're saying about my husband. I don't care what you're saying about us right now that we're cold, heartless people. I didn't take it that she was talking about the people.
Well, the jacket actually said that.
Yeah, but when you're first lady, you're supposed to think of how things look to the public. And
I agree.
I don't think, also, she's not highly intelligent. You know,
no, see!
Not much education.
I agree with you, Dr.
Fine. We don't know this.
I'm just telling you. So, Melania is still the worst first lady, and she's rated very low by anybody who's a scholar of the first ladies. And I've done some lectures on first ladies.
What about Mrs. Harding? Where does she rate burning all those letters?
Well, yes. Well, she was a henpecker, as they said. She made her life, you know, she made Warren G. Harding's life difficult. And of course, he had love affairs outside of marriage.
Well, she lied about having a son.
She was a difficult person, but she also wanted him to be president.
Right, but she lied about...
She was one of those first ladies who pushed her husband to run for president.
She lied in 1920 about having a son. She lied in 1920 about having an ex-husband. She lied about being married before. She obviously covered up a lot of President Harding's peccadilloes, however you want to say it. She knew about him with Carrie Phillips long before the election. I mean, I think this is bad First Lady material.
Dr. Feynman, Scott's going to be run out of town on a rail.
Heaven forbid if she'd have put a jacket on. We don't know what would have happened.
Well, yes, but I'm not saying Mrs. Harding is a great First Lady, but
I'm saying
Melania and her husband are the absolute bottom of the presidency. I've always thought that.
I think that
I just feel it's reality of what's going on. He's already rated at the bottom in the C-SPAN polls and others as far as presidents, right down there with actually, you know, Harding's above him, by the way. And yet Harding really, you know, is a pretty horrible president. But Trump has very little, you know, especially after January 6th, how could anybody defend Donald Trump?
Well, I don't know. I'm with Harding, I guess what I'm saying. I think he started the VA. I think he delegated a little too much, which is where Teapot Dome came in. And I don't dislike Mrs. Harding. I don't want anybody to get that impression. We're just talking about... I'm trying to give a comparison to Melania Trump. And also, listen, Jackie Kennedy knew her husband was fooling around. She covered that up. Jackie Kennedy knew that her husband was sick with Addison's disease. She covered that up. Eleanor Roosevelt knew she had no relationship with her husband.
Because she had cheated on her back in 1918.
Right? And she covered that up. She knew Franklin Roosevelt's peccadilloes. She covered those up. Hillary Clinton, I'm sure, knew about Paula Jones.
Of course Hillary Clinton knew.
Right, but
they all were accomplished in other ways. Well, how was she accomplished, Melania? She had no accomplishments in her life.
But I'm saying...
She came over as a model, and I think it may have been based on her ability to perform, if you know what I mean.
You know where I... Dr. Feynman.
But I think it's true.
That's the most horrible thing I've ever heard.
Had trouble, you know, she met Trump and her life changed, but she was basically someone who came over illegally, is believed, and her parents got citizenship even though they shouldn't have. To me, nobody matches her.
I didn't know she was an actress. What movies was she in?
Actress?
You said how she performed.
movies or stills you would want to, promote.
Now listen, you and Adam used to go on and on and on about how beautiful this woman was.
Well, that's Adam, not me.
Dr. Feynman.
Look back, I always disagree. I said she's nice looking, but I did not rave about her as Adam did. No,
that's what I thought.
Adam kept on doing that. That's true.
Yeah, so, I mean, is that important?
No, it isn't, but he thinks it's important, obviously.
Well, didn't a lot of people, though, say Nancy Reagan was horrible to the White House staff and she was kind of henpecking Reagan?
She was.
And didn't
but
people
I still
say
don't
that...
Think any of them match anything like Melania Trump. I really don't.
But, I mean, aside from this jacket and this movie that she did. It wasn't a movie, what, a magazine? Is that really something that matters? I mean, really?
When you're going to be, well, of course, she didn't know she was going to be first lady, but I don't think that's something that's a good thing if you're ending up married to the president of the United States. But also, she did not want to be first lady. She did not want him running. I know that. She got pushed into it because of what he decided to do. That I agree.
I think had she done it when she was first lady, that would be something. But she didn't. And it's not illegal what she did. And a lot of models do that. And I don't know that that should be held against her for... You know, I think about what Barbara Bush, I mean, boy, there's a lot of stuff that comes out about Barbara Bush, about how, I mean, my goodness, her family called her the enforcer.
Well, she was. In fact, there's an event, one time she was at a dinner and she was complaining to the waiter or waitress, and after it was all over and they left, George H.W. came back to apologize for his wife's behavior.
Now, see, there you go. Now, who do you want over for dinner, Melania Trump or Barbara Bush?
Either one of them.
Maybe Florence Harding can stop by for dessert.
Yeah, I must say, speaking to you on the phone now, even though it's not the same show, I hope you and I can get together before the year ends.
No, it's fun. We always have a good time, and I hope that you understand that when I bring these things up on Glenn's show, it's because I'm listening to what you're saying on his show. And I do, you've been with us for a while now, which I appreciate.
4.5 years.
4.5 years.
Wow.
And I do remember back to these moments where you were very... deferential to Melania Trump. So it's a little interesting now.
Deferential just said she's a nice-looking woman.
I don't remember any criticism of her antics before becoming First Lady. But now, I hear more about that.
Well, she's an historical figure now. She's out of office, right?
Well, yeah, but I think she... So when you're in office, it doesn't matter. When you're out of office, it's fair game?
No, but I'm just saying, but now is the time to rank and rate people compared to others.
Oh, well, I don't know. That to me happened before she was president or first lady.
First lady,
and,
yeah.
And you know, I don't know that there's any, she never lied about it. Let's put it that way. And I really don't know what that coat was supposed to mean. I don't know. It looks like it was made rather hastily.
It's going to be controversial. Why did she have to wear it?
Yeah.
That's the point. I want to give the credit on being a great mother to Barron. That I have no debate about. She is, you know, it's not easy bringing up Barron in the White House and having a husband who's so controversial and having to deal with the flack that comes from it. So I do give her credit on how she has been as a mother. I do for that.
Well, Dr. Feynman, I'm glad you called in, and feel free anytime. And you and Glenn will be up here in about 10 minutes.
Because I had to defend Lady Bird Johnson.
Oh, Lady Bird. Sorry. So you rank Lady Bird Johnson right up there.
Actually, she's one of the top few first ladies, yes. Up there with Eleanor Roosevelt, Hillary Clinton, Michelle Obama, and let me just think for a minute. Betty Ford is also very good. She's the best Republican first lady, I think, without any question.
Quick.
Betty Ford. I really like Betty Ford. And so does Adam Lapp. He really likes Betty Ford and Gerald Ford.
Yeah, but here's a quick quote before we get out of here on First Ladies. Do you know whose funeral Lady Bird Johnson went to unannounced, and most people didn't even know she was in the room?
You're catching me at a moment. I have to have some time to think about it. Mike, who is that?
Jackie Kennedy.
Hmm.
She went to Jackie Kennedy's funeral and did not announce that she was going to be there.
Really?
She was kind of back in the room. I don't even think there's a picture of her there. And she was a former First Lady at the first time.
Well, that's wonderful. That's great.
Well, that she went, but why?
See, I'm learning as well as everybody else learns. I learn from being on shows, and you and Adam and also Glenn all learn. This is what life is all about, learning things that we don't
education
know.
Education and information. You got it, Doctor.
Yeah, hey, thanks so much, and let's try to have the show before the year ends.
We shall. Thank you, Doctor.
Okay.
All right, we've got Glenn. You got all quiet there, Glenn.
I was just listening to you two guys shoot the ball.
Here we go. Glenn and Dr. Feynman coming up in about 10 minutes. Nate Redmond today at 4, and Trinity Baptist at 6, and the big debate tomorrow night, 7 to 9. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
71.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address... 2842 Marion Waldo Road, telephone number 740-225-4495, webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take